nuestra provincia. No hemos visto esto a menudo, dijo el jueves el ministro de Salud, Christian Dubé, refiriéndose a que Quebec registró más de 1.400 casos en un solo día. Pero lo hemos visto y los casos se estabilizaron justo después, agregó.
Aún así, el gobierno está recordando a la gente que ayuda a contener la propagación del virus si quiere reunirse con sus seres queridos durante las fiestas navideñas.
Por ahora, el plan de la provincia permite que la gente se reúna en grupos de hasta 10 personas dos veces entre el 24 y el 27 de diciembre y se anima a los quebequenses a permanecer en casa tanto como sea posible durante la semana previa a la ventana de reunión de 4 días y la semana siguiente.
Dubé dijo que la provincia todavía tiene planes de autorizar visitas a los residentes de hogares de atención a ancianos de largo plazo durante las vacaciones. Dijo que, sin embargo, no es probable que se permita a los residentes salir de los hogares para visitar a su familia.
Y ahora vamos a un nuevo tema musical.
Acariciando su pelo, rulo y señal de la cruz. La caricia de Jesús hizo posible el milagro, convirtió la red en tierra, el balón hizo palomas que aterrizaban su paz. En la isla Soledad, borrando una absurda guerra, Judas no juega esta tarde. Lo expulsaron por traidor y 11 apóstoles de Cristo con sus oídos al cielo consultándole al Señor. Y Jesús dijo: me voy. De tácticas ya no hablo, pero un consejo les doy: la pelota siempre al 10, que ocurrirá otro milagro. Premio Nobel de la Paz, desde México.
Revista de la semana. La cumbre del G20 entre la pandemia y el cambio climático. The Weekly Review. The G20 Summit between the pandemic and climate change. Sin mucha atención ni de gobiernos, ni mucho menos de parte del público, tuvo lugar la cumbre del Grupo de los 20 organizada el fin de semana pasado por Arabia Saudita. Por cierto, dadas las condiciones actuales, los líderes dialogaron de manera virtual. Debe recordarse que esta instancia, esencialmente de carácter consultivo, nació como una forma de abrir un diálogo entre el Grupo de los 7, que agrupa a los países capitalistas más ricos, Estados Unidos, Alemania, Gran Bretaña, Japón, Francia, Canadá e Italia, y una serie de otros países considerados de desarrollo mediano y con un cierto peso geopolítico en sus respectivas regiones. Algunos del tercer mundo, como la India, otros como China, ciertamente una potencia económica e industrial emergente y con mucha fuerza, otros como Rusia, destronada del rol protagónico que tuvo en tiempos de la URSS durante la Guerra Fría, pero todavía una significativa potencia militar. El propio anfitrión, Arabia Saudita, uno de los mayores productores de petróleo en el mundo, y también entre todos ellos, tres latinoamericanos que tienen como característica el poseer las economías más grandes en la región: Brasil, México y Argentina. Los otros participantes fueron Australia, Sudáfrica, Corea del Sur, Indonesia, Turquía y la Unión Europea. Aunque pensado como un foro esencialmente económico, en esta ocasión, como era de esperar, el tema que dominó las conversaciones fue el de la pandemia. Como hecho casi anecdótico, este ha sido uno de los últimos encuentros internacionales en que el presidente saliente de Estados Unidos, Donald Trump, estuvo como participante. Y por cierto, no debe haber estado muy contento, dado que justamente en el tema de la pandemia, que él mismo ha más bien minimizado, el G20 acordó en su declaración respaldar a la Organización Mundial de la Salud, de la cual Trump había desafiliado a su país. En el aspecto económico de la pandemia, el G20 también acordó favorecer un acceso equitativo y abordable a las vacunas que estarán disponibles a partir del próximo año. Esta preocupación de algunos gobiernos participantes fue muy importante de destacar, ya que en todos estos días venimos escuchando de una verdadera carrera por parte de grandes transnacionales farmacéuticas por llegar pronto a la producción y comercialización de sus respectivas vacunas, pero en muchos casos, teniendo en cuenta más el alza del valor de las acciones en las bolsas de comercio que en el espinoso tema de cómo asegurar que la vacuna sea accesible, especialmente a los países de menos recursos. Obviamente, si uno sigue las reglas del mercado en este aspecto, el efecto desastroso que el COVID-19 está teniendo en el mundo haría que, ante tal gigantesca demanda, los precios de las vacunas se disparen. El otro tema, aunque de menor eco comparado a la pandemia, fue el del cambio climático. Pese a las objeciones del presidente estadounidense, la declaración final indicó que el cambio climático presenta uno de los mayores desafíos de nuestro tiempo. Aunque en este sentido no hubo acuerdos muy concretos, probablemente porque justamente las medidas que apuntan a reducir los factores humanos en relación al cambio climático se centran sobre el uso del petróleo como fuente energética y Arabia Saudita, el país anfitrión de la cumbre, es por cierto el principal productor de petróleo en la actualidad. La cumbre también enfocó otros temas como el alivio de la deuda de los países más pobres, la regulación del comercio mundial afectado doblemente por la pandemia y por la guerra comercial entre Estados Unidos y China, y también la extrema pobreza que afecta a muchos países y que la pandemia ciertamente va a incrementar. Poco en concreto se dirá, pero esa abundancia de retórica y carencia de hechos concretos es una de las características de estos foros mundiales. Quizás, al final, lo más interesante ha sido ver el aislamiento de Estados Unidos respecto de muchas de las medidas acordadas, pero que no sabemos tampoco cómo serán abordadas por la nueva administración que asuma en Washington en enero. De alguna manera ha sido una cumbre de poca trascendencia en un momento que, sin embargo, está marcado por crisis. La sanitaria, con la pandemia en pleno despliegue por todo el mundo, y la económica, que sin duda vendrá como efecto inmediato del coronavirus y que ya se está haciendo sentir con posibles estallidos sociales en muchas partes del mundo. Without much attention, neither from governments nor from the public, the G20 summit, organized last weekend by Saudi Arabia, took place. In fact, given the current conditions, the meeting was conducted online. It should be remembered that this body, essentially of a consultative nature, was born as a way of opening a dialogue between the Group of Seven, which groups together the richest capitalist countries, the United States, Germany, Great Britain, Japan, France, Canada, and Italy, and a series of other countries regarded as of medium development and with a certain geopolitical weight in their respective regions. Some from the third world, like India, others like China, certainly an emerging economic and industrial power with a lot of strength, others like Russia, the throne from the leading role it had in the time of the USSR during the Cold War, but still a significant military power. The host itself, Saudi Arabia, one of the biggest producers of oil in the world, and also among all of them, three Latin Americans, which have as a characteristic the possession of the biggest economies in the region, Brazil, Mexico and Argentina. The other participants were Australia, South Africa, South Korea, Indonesia, Turkey and the European Union. Although thought as an essentially economic forum, on this occasion, as expected, the topic that dominated the talks was the pandemic. Almost anecdotally, this was one of the last international meetings in which outgoing US President Donald Trump was a participant. And by the way, he must not have been very happy since it was on the subject of the pandemic, which he himself had rather minimized, that the G20 agreed in their declaration to support the World Health Organization, from which Trump had withdrawn his country. On the economic side of the pandemic, the G20 also agreed to promote equitable and affordable access to vaccines that will be available starting next year. This concern of some participating governments was very important to highlight, as we have been hearing all these days of a real race by large pharmaceutical corporations to reach the production and commercialization of their respective vaccines soon, but in many cases, taking into account more the rise in the value of their shares on the stock exchanges than the thorny issue of how to ensure that the vaccine is accessible, especially to countries with fewer resources. Obviously, if one follows the rules of the market in this regard, the disastrous effect that COVID-19 is having around the world will cause vaccine prices to skyrocket in the face of such a huge demand. The other issue, although less vocal compared to the pandemic, was that of climate change. Despite the U.S. president's objection, the final declaration indicated that climate change presents one of the greatest challenges of our time, although in this sense there were no more concrete agreements, probably because the measures that aim to reduce the human factors in relation to climate change focus on the use of oil as an energy source, and Saudi Arabia, the country hosting the summit, is certainly the largest oil producer today. The summit also focused on other issues such as debt relief for the poorest countries, the regulation of world trade, doubly affected by the pandemic and by the trade war between China and the United States, and also the extreme poverty that affects many countries and that the pandemic will certainly increase. A little in particular, it will be said, but that abundance of rhetoric and lack of concrete facts is one of the characteristics of these global forums. Perhaps, in the end, the most interesting thing has been to see the isolation of the United States with respect to many of the measures agreed upon, but which we do not know either how they will be addressed by the new administration, which will take office in Washington in January. In a way, it has been a summit of little importance at a time that is nevertheless marked by crisis. The health crisis with the pandemic in full swing around the world, and the economic crisis that will undoubtedly come as an immediate effect of the coronavirus, and that is already making itself felt with possible social upheavals in many parts of the world. Good day.
Bueno, y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 29 de noviembre del 2020. Entre los eventos tenemos Argentina presente en la 23 edición del Festival Internacional del Documental, que se lleva a cabo durante 3 semanas, del 12 de noviembre al 2 de diciembre, y que estará organizada en 8 secciones temáticas en las que los largometrajes, los medios y los cortometrajes tendrán espacio. En esta oportunidad, Argentina participa en el festival con las siguientes películas:
Mother Child, de Andrea Testa; Quelque chose brûle, de Victoria Marechal, Nicolás Tabilo y Macarena Astete. Para ver las películas, ir al sitio web del festival www.ridm.ca y buscar en la selección por título.
Según la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, el tiempo para el día de hoy será temperatura máxima de 6 grados, para esta noche períodos de nubosidad con una mínima de 2 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tiene alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time, a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.lantintime y denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Con tus goles, con el Diego la Argentina es el campeón. Toda Europa te saluda a tu paso. Para Italia fabricaste un campeón. Pero en la bombonera es donde brilla mejor tu estrella de campeón. Sos el Diego para los hinchas de Boca. Para el mundo seguís siendo el mejor. Uno aclama al gran campeón. La Argentina ahora tiene un solo grito. El pueblo y Maradona, un solo corazón.
Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Esta ha sido una edición especial de Tiempo Latino. Estuvimos con ustedes en las voces Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez. Producción técnica, compaginación y selección musical, Rommel Cajavilca. Tiempo Latino estará de regreso el próximo domingo en las ondas de CKUT 90.3 FM. Manténgase en las ondas de CKUT. Nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un muy feliz domingo.
Latin Time was a Latin American Communications Workshop production. Our team today, Daniel Lara and Sergio Martinez at the mics, and in charge of the technical production, editing and music selection, Romel Cajavilca. Latin Time will return next Sunday at 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report. Have a happy Sunday.
Ahí la tiene Maradona, lo marcan dos, pisa la pelota Maradona, arranca por la derecha el genio del fútbol mundial, y es el tercero a tocar para Borruchaga, siempre Maradona, genio, 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 ta, 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 ta.
Persona cualquiera, es un hombre pegado a una pelota de cuero, tiene el don celestial de tratar muy bien.
Hi, this is Alan Liddell of WDEL Radio, Wilmington, Delaware, USA. If it's happening in the world of radio, every week at 10:30 a.m. on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on the web at ckut.ca.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report for November the 29th, 2020, closing in on the end of the year, just about a month away. Hope you've got your Christmas shopping ready to go, if you're doing that this year with a strange year going on. We welcome you to our show. This is a weekly half-hour news and information show about the world of radio. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill, as usual, and we are here in Montreal, CKUT 90.3 FM. We're also live streaming on the web, ckut.ca. We have an email address if you'd like to reach us, radioreport@yahoo.com. And we have our Facebook group, International Radio Report. Got a few new members this week. We welcome Mark, Raman, Bowman, and Bob, bringing us up to 560 members. We thank you guys for joining us. And you can join as well. Just go to Facebook, look for International Radio Report, click join this group, and join in with the fun. Lots of interesting stories there. We thank everybody that's been posting up information there for us, some which we use on the show, some that we don't. So browse through the stories that are there. Also, some of the longer stories that we don't get to on the show, we put them up there for you to check out as well. So we should get going. Lots of stuff going on this week. We've had our first snowfall in the city, yes. Which is almost gone already, though.
Yeah.
It's melting pretty quickly, but it's coming.
Gave me the idea to actually make my Christmas tree now.
There you go. You're ahead of me, that's for sure. We've got some decorations up, but nothing major. All right, we will start things out with some local news. Lots of things going on at CBC Radio Montreal, and the story broke this week that the Daybreak morning show host for the past 13 years at CBC Montreal is leaving. As a matter of fact, Friday was his last day. Mike Finnerty, after 13 years as host of the CBC Montreal Daybreak show, has decided it's time to move on. He explained the reasons behind his departure. He says, quote, "It is time. I've hosted Daybreak for a total of 13 years, including over the last eventful decade, 2010 to 2020. That's a lot of time. This is not my chair. It's been my great privilege to keep it warm, but I want to make way for a new voice, another style, a fresh perspective on the city for 2021. He says, quote, "I'll never forget the thrill of turning the microphone on every weekday, rain or snow or shine, and saying good morning to Montrealers." This is interesting. What's next for him? Something completely different. He says, "This Christmas, you'll find me at the Borough Market selling cheese in my second home, London, England. I need some time to turn the page, and I get a lot of joy from a product that has a history that reaches back through the centuries. I am in awe of the mysteries of fermentation, all the incredible taste, smells, and varieties of cheese." So he's actually going to be a cheesemonger working out of a cheese shop in London, England.
That's a big change.
He has done some of this already. During vacation period, he goes back to London and he's been working at this sort of as a sideline. But now it's going to become his new career. So it's kind of strange and interesting. But 13 years is a long time hosting the morning show.
Yep.
So we wish him well with that. And on Friday morning show, he introduced the new host, who will be starting in January 2021, and it is Sean Henry. And local viewers in Montreal will probably know him from his time as the CBC weekend anchor on the CBC Montreal TV News. He's been a guest host and host on various CBC radio specials. He will begin hosting Daybreak in January. And in the meantime, though, for the month of December, they have a fill-in host, who's Rebecca Ugolini, and she will fill in through the balance of this year. They interviewed Sean Henry, and he says that he's a Montrealer. He's going to bring his own Montreal experience to the show. He spent the first few years of his life in the Côte d'Anges area of Montreal. He grew up in Ville LaSalle. Spent his university years in Little Burgundy and moved away as One Island, One City came into effect. He lived away from home in 2002 to 2012 in Nassau in the Bahamas, in Quebec City, and in Windsor, Ontario. He's now converted. He calls himself a converted East Ender. He lives in the Mercier-Hochelaga-Maisonneuve sector of the city now. So he's got a lot of background in Montreal, so it'll be interesting to see what sort of spin he puts on the program So that will be starting in January on CBC Radio 1 in Montreal, which is 88.5 FM on the Montreal dial.
It's going to be interesting to listen. And, you know, every time there's a change of on-air personality, but there's always also kind of a change of the general feel of the shows at the same time.
Yeah, I was speculating who the new host might be when they did announce that he was leaving. And I was kind of hoping that they may have picked one of the longtime female announcers at CBC Montreal. But for some reason, they seem to have a little bit of a problem with having a female host on Daybreak. Substitute hosts, yes, but a permanent host, I think you have to go all the way back a number of years now. Avril Benoit was there for a while. Nancy Woods was there for a while. But it's not something that they've done much of. And, of course, they posted the job up in CBC, so anybody could apply. So maybe, I don't know. You know, we don't know who did apply for the job. Maybe they did and you know, didn't receive the job, didn't get the job. Or maybe they didn't apply. So we don't really know. But anyways, we'll see how things work out with the new host come January.
Yep,
and one sad note out of CBC that they announced on Friday morning as well. The former Director General of Radio and Audio for Radio Canada and CBC Montreal, Patricia Plazinska, has died. It was announced on Friday that she had passed away on Thursday after a lengthy illness. She held many positions with CBC and Radio Canada in Montreal. She left the CBC in 2018, though, to take the position of co-owner and general manager of the Maison des Arts Saint-Laurent. She was the wife of another CBC broadcaster, actually, former CBC political analyst and broadcaster Bernard Saint-Laurent. So they had quite a nice tribute to her on the show on Friday morning as well. So there's a couple stories on the local scene going on with CBC Radio in Montreal.
And more Canadian radio news. We have the Canadian radio listening statistics during pandemic, and this is via Stats Radio. Stats Radio continues to measure cross-platform audiences across 62 regional and community radio stations and has some insights as Canada moves from the first to the second wave of the pandemic. Data collected from February to mid-November shows that although 65.6% of stations experienced gains in listenership during the start of the pandemic, 77% experienced a typical summer decrease in audience size. 66% have since returned to audience sizes similar to those experienced in April. Audiences for 62.3% of stations measured are also listening longer, with tuning up almost a million hours between July and this month. Stats Radio says those 62 radio stations have reached 1.9 million individual listeners who combined tuned over 11.3 million hours of radio weekly. It's kind of interesting to see the variations in the statistics and the number of hours of people listening in, and it's interesting to see that people listen in longer also. I don't know, it has to do maybe a little more because of the people working from home, or it's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's probably got a lot to do with it. More people at home listening to the radio, having it on in the background, what have you. And not as many people in cars. They don't break this down at all by car listening and home listening, but that would be interesting numbers to see, I would think. But I'm sure the radio station owners are happy to see those numbers coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting. And we have a kind of a sad news. It's the end of an era. Universal Radio in Ohio closing down. This is via the shortwavelistening.com website. So in an announcement from Fred and Barbara Osterman, they say, "Dear friends of Universal Radio, time waits for no one, and that includes Barbara and I. We have decided to retire, and our current location in Worthington, Ohio, will close on November 30th, 2020. Even though the store is closing, we will fulfill all existing customer orders and have a large amount of inventory to close out. the Universal Radio website will be maintained for the foreseeable future to sell this remaining stock, publications, and some select products. Unfortunately, the lack of a storefront showroom will preclude us from carrying some manufacturers' products. I am very fortunate to have been in the radio business for 50 years, 13 at Radio Shack and 37 at Universal Radio. We have met many wonderful people along the journey who have supported me personally as well as Universal Radio. It has been a privilege to have a continuous career in the fascinating field of radio since 1969. Please accept our sincere thank you for support of Universal Radio for these many years and for the months to come. So they have a new address. This is not a storefront. They have a new postal address for probably the shipping details and all of that of whatever is left. And they, of course, have the universal-radio.com website that you can still go visit. They have, they're going to be clearing out all the stock left behind, the books and everything. So it's going to be something to check out. Maybe some deals in there. Who knows? And it's sad to see that. But, you know, it's like it just reminds me of Grove Enterprise, that also kind of a similar pattern. The owners getting older and they want to retire and there's like nobody to really take the place. So they just shut down, unfortunately. And I mean, these are important retailers. I mean, Universal Radio is a well-known name for so many years in radio. I was telling you earlier that I purchased my shortwave listening, the SWL cartridge for decoding digital modes for my Commodore 64 back around 1986 from Universal Radio, actually. So they've been around for a long time, and it's sad to see them, another store and another, less and less places to buy radio today, except online on these, you know, big places like Amazon and eBay. Sad to see that, no more storefront there. And it's, I guess, kind of also showing us the state of our hobby at the same time a little bit.
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to know Fred and Barbara for pretty much most of their 37 years of operation at Universal Radio. They've always been very supportive of the shortwave listening hobby and the clubs. They were regular at the old Anarch conventions, and for many, many years they were in attendance at the Winterfest in Pennsylvania every year. So they've been a big supporter of that too, with donating a lot of prizes and really, really great people as well. So we wish them well with their future retirement, and keep your eyes open on that website for possibly some really good deals as they clear out some of the stock. A quick story out of Detroit, and this is the nasty business of radio continues. Breeze FM in Detroit host Kim Adams lost her job in the middle of her show. This comes from the Detroit News via Radio World. Kim Adams was as surprised as anyone to hear the abrupt format flip at WDZH FM 98.7 on Thursday. The station made a sudden switch from the easy listening The Breeze to alt rock at noon Thursday, following CIMX FM switchover from alt rock to country music. And just as quickly, Adams found herself jobless. Literally in the middle of my show, my boss called my cell phone and told me as of that minute they were flipping over. We went from Gene Autry to Nirvana, and that was it. Adam said Thursday, "I didn't realize something like this could happen." She'd been the host at The Breeze since February 2019. She says it's kind of where it's super fun to be on the radio, but it's also super brutal. And I'd only experienced the super fun part of it. Now I've got a taste of the other part. All good things must come to an end, I guess. I gave myself today to cry and feel sorry for myself. Tomorrow, I put on my big girl pants and figure it out. Debbie Kenyon, market manager of the station, says the station will be hiring talent for all day parts going forward and will be posting jobs soon. So I guess they figured that she couldn't adapt to the new format. You know, she could do their breeze light, sort of easy listening, but they didn't want her around for alternative rock.
Yeah, that is weird. And, you know, we often talk about how it's a rough business. But usually, you know, it's like you come in the morning and it's like, well, oh, sorry, you don't have a job anymore. But right in the middle of a show, that's even worse.
Yeah, getting a notice on your cell phone is...
That's also a bad one. It's like, yeah, let's text message you that you lost your job.
Yeah, they were probably waiting for it to come out of studio, too. And, you know, here, hand over your pass to get into the station, clear your desk, and out you go. So, anyways, sad story.
Absolutely. The Sun. There's a lot of activity on the Sun right now. We have some really nice big sunspots. Sunspot number at 46, as we're doing the show right now. Basically, three big sunspots that have appeared. And some of them, including 2786, are still growing. Sunspot 2786 has a beta-gamma magnetic field. So it harbors energy for possible M-class flares. And actually, it's rotating slowly towards being pretty much direction of the Earth. That means if solar flares are happening there, they're probably going to impact us at some point. Right now, it's been relatively quiet, with most flares being lower grade C flares, but that's going to be something to look at because the sunspot is still growing. It, of course, increased the solar flux above 100 for the first time in I don't know how many months. I dare to say many years. We are getting to a nice little solar cycle that's you know, trying to get up solar cycle 25. So improved propagation because of better solar flux. I've noticed 15 meter band, 21 megahertz open. A lot of people have been reporting across the U.S. 25 megahertz WWV coming in their location. So it's showing us that solar flux is actually making the higher frequencies propagate. I wouldn't be surprised above 100 that maybe 10 meter band, people should give a try on the 10 meter band, 28 megahertz. Might be surprised, it might be open actually, after being closed for so long. There's a small solar wind coming out of the Sun that might actually trigger a little bit of unsettled conditions, but nothing really big happening right now except for the sunspots that are really huge. Follow that and go to spaceweather.com, great website to have the latest information on what's happening on the Sun. And if you see sudden decrease in radio reception or fade outs of the signals you're listening to, maybe something could be happening on the Sun, including a solar flare. But tune in to radio and tune to higher frequencies. Go above 20 megahertz. Check out what's available there. You might be surprised at what you'll be able to hear.
Hey, IRRR listeners. There's another program, World of Radio, now well over 2,000 weekly editions, with multiple broadcasts on two major shortwave stations in the U.S., WRMI and WBCQ. Also IRRS in Europe and Unique Radio in Australia. There are several chances to hear me, Glenn Hauser, on Sunday evenings, among others, and podcasts on demand. Full schedule info plus loads of other material, especially about shortwave, at worldofradio.com.
There's a lot of sad news today in our stories. Another one here about the Arecibo radio telescope, an icon of astronomy that is lost. And this is by Megan Bartels of space.com. The National Science Foundation, the NSF, will decommission Arecibo's observatory's massive radio dish after damage has made the facility too dangerous to repair, the agency announced on November 19th. The announcement came as scientists awaited a verdict about the fate of the iconic observatory after damage to the complex cabling supporting a 900-ton science platform suspended over the dish. In August, a cable slipped out of its socket, but engineers evaluating the situation deemed it stable. But earlier this month, a second cable unexpectedly snapped, leaving Arecibo's fate much more perilous. After considering three separate engineering reports, the NSF, which owns the property, has decided the facility is unstable enough that there is no way to repair the damage that does not put personnel at undue risk. Our goal has been to find a way to preserve the telescope without placing anyone's safety at risk, Sean Jones said. Assistant Director for Mathematical and Physical Sciences Direct said in a news conference today. However, after receiving and reviewing the engineering assessments, we have found no path forward that would allow us to do it safely. And we know that a delay in decision-making leaves the entire facility at risk of an uncontrolled collapse, unnecessarily jeopardizing people and also the additional facilities. The telescope is currently at serious risk of unexpected uncontrolled collapse, Ralph Gohn, director of NSF Division of Astronomical Sciences, said. According to engineering assessments, even attempts stabilization or testing the cables could result in an accelerating of the catastrophic failure. Engineers cannot tell us the safety margin of the structure, but they have advised NSF that the structure will collapse in the near future on its own. That is sad news because that was a big instrument. It was used for many decades in very important science in radio astronomy. Really sad to see that it will be dismantled.
You know, Puerto Rico was hit really hard with a number of hurricanes, and you kind of wonder if maybe that could have weakened the structure or had some effect on the cables, possibly. They really got hit hard. I mean, there's still places down there that they still haven't restored power in parts of Puerto Rico.
Absolutely.
So you kind of wonder maybe that had something to do with it. We next take you across the ocean to the UK, and there's a story by James Warrington from City AM. We thank Alan Lafferty for passing this story along. Radio veterans take on BBC with a new baby boomer station. It's called Boom Radio, and it will launch across the UK early next year, bringing a mix of music and conversation to the country's roughly 14 million boomers aged 55 and older. Now, that's a market that not too many people go after anymore in the radio business.
Yeah.
The station promises a playlist of boomer classics from across the decades, including the Beatles, Tom Jones, ABBA, as well as favorites from contemporary artists such as Adele and George Ezra. In addition to music, Boom Radio will offer a range of speech programming, such as gardening shows, book reviews, though it's expected to steer clear of overly political subjects. The venture is being launched by industry veterans Phil Riley and David Lloyd. As chief executive of Chrysalis Radio, Riley masterminded the launch of Heart FM before overseeing the group's sale to Global in 2007. Lloyd has for decades experienced as a presenter and executive at stations including LBC and Virgin. The launch comes amid growing discontent among older Brits that the BBC and its commercial rivals are trying to target younger audiences at the expense of the boomer generation. This comes at a time when more than a third of commercial radio listeners in the UK are tuning in for an extra hour and 53 minutes per day in November, compared to the period before the first lockdown in April. We want to step on the toes of Radio 2, Riley told City AM. Our view is that Radio 2 is almost relentlessly being dragged younger so that they can appeal to people over the age of 30. As a result, the radio boss said that there was a gap in the market. We think there's an appetite among over 60s for a radio station that just targets them. So that's pretty interesting. As you know, the numbers tie in, which we just talked about in a previous story about the listenership going up.
Yep.
But we've had this with CBC in Canada, where they have been trying to skew programming towards a younger audience. I think they think that the older generation is moving away. You know, they've got to bring the new audience in, so they're trying to change the program to cater to them. In this time they're doing that, though, they're forgetting the loyal listeners that have been there for so long. So these guys are going to try and turn it around. And I think it'll be pretty nice for older listeners to find something that they're comfortable and familiar and happy to hear on the radio again. So see how successful it is. And if it is, what the BBC might do to try to counter it. You know, there's always competition.
Because, I mean, that must be probably the biggest part of their audience anyway. So, you know, there's a danger if you move away and forget some of your listeners because you want to change format and appeal to other types of audiences.
It's happened here for sure. I know a lot of regular longtime listeners of CBC feel that they've been kind of forgotten and isolated, and they really don't like the new approach to some of the new programming. So they're finding it difficult to find things to listen to on the radio. So this will give at least people in Britain an option when these stations fire up next year.
Yep.
So we will wrap up today's program with, as usual, some news of some upcoming ham radio events and contests. We have four of them coming up over the next weekend. For 160 meter band people, if you're down in the low frequencies and you can get away from interference, you might find the ARRL's 160 meter band contest of interest. It runs from 2200 UTC December 4th to 1559 UTC on December the 6th. It's 42 hours, no limitation, so you can operate as long as you like, and that is on the 160 meter band. There's a Russian QRP, that's low-powered amateur radio, Russian QRP Club sponsoring something called the Wake Up QRP Sprint. It's only 2 hours, runs from 600 to 800 Zulu on December the 5th. You can use power of no more than 5 watts of output. It's on 40 and 20 meters, and it's CW only. So this is a real challenge, but CW does cut through even on low power, so yep. You might find that fun. There should be a lot of Russian stations on the air. There's another CW contest called the Pro CW Contest, and it's sponsored by a Romanian club called the Pro Contest Club of Romania. This one will run from 1600 Zulu December 5th to 1559 Zulu December the 6th. It is 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters CW only. And finally, a group called the RTTY Contesting Group is sponsoring the FT Roundup, 1800 Zulu December 5th to 2359 Zulu December the 6th. Now, this one is digital.
Yep.
Contacts can be made on either FT4 or FT8, and it's using 80 through 10 meters on the subbands that are used for the FT signals. And you can look these guys up at rttycontesting.com. And I think they used to do a lot of standard RTTY work, and now with the new digital modes, they're moving into some work on those new modes as well. So lots of activity on the ham bands next weekend. You might want to try out some of these. And if conditions are improving, let's hope they are, then the results might be even better, more interesting for you.
Absolutely. And hey, we're already out of time and can't believe that the next show will be in December next week.
That's right. We're closing in on the end of the year. We will be with you, though, right through the holidays. So we hope you will stay tuned. Keep tuning in. If you missed the show, you can pick it up on the archives at ckut.ca. You can drop us a note at radioreport@yahoo.com. And we do invite you to check our Facebook group out, International Radio Report. We will talk to you again next week, 10:30, 15:30 UTC on CKUT 90.3 with the next edition of the International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
As we continue to fight the spread of COVID-19, there are new support programs in place for those who need them, including a stronger, more accessible EI and 3 new recovery benefits. Continuing to support Canadians now will help keep us safe and make Canada more resilient. Visit canada.ca/coronavirus to learn about the new income support programs. A message from the Government of Canada.
In the fight against COVID-19, we must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
So, other than that, I mean, you know, what's going on? What do you say?
Buenas tardes.
And we'll be back.
Missed your favorite show? Not a problem. Go to www.ckut.ca and follow the link to CKUT's easy-to-use archives. Instructions are on the page. 2 months' worth of archives are stored in mono and half a month's worth in stereo.
Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal.
If you're having trouble, please email sys@ckut.ca. That's sys@ckut.ca.
Oh, yeah! I want to be your motivator.